May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 897. Ye poor afflicted souls, give ear, who seek the Lord but fear his frown. What things ye ask in fervent prayer, believing Christ will send them down. 897.
help us to read two portions from his holy word. Firstly, the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings, to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee, and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass, and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness, and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. I am the Lord, there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioneth it, what makest thou? All thy work he hath no hands. Woe unto him that saith unto his father, what begettest thou? Or to the woman, what hast thou brought forth? Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands command ye me. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city, and he shall let go my captives. Not for price nor reward, saith the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord, the labour of Egypt and merchandise of Ethiopia and of the Sabaeans, men of stature shall come over unto thee, and they shall be thine. They shall come after thee, in chains they shall come over, and they shall fall down unto thee. They shall make supplication unto thee, saying, surely God is in thee, and there is none else, there is no God. Verily, thou art a God that hidest thyself O God of Israel, the Saviour. They shall be ashamed and also confounded, all of them. They shall go to confusion together that are makers of idols. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it, he created it not in vain, he formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I have not spoken in secret, in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image, and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye, and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord, and there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Saviour? There is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. Few verses from the 10th chapter of the Gospel according to St. John. We'll read the first 18 verses. John chapter 10. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth a wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word and grant us prayer. O Lord, do enable us to look unto thee even now, the single eye, or do help one audibly and others silently to lift up our hearts unto thee. O Lord, to come to thee just as we are. Lord, to resort to thee, to flee to thee, to confide in thee. Lord, to beg thy mercy. Have mercy upon us here this evening, a company of sinners, mortals with immortal souls. Lord, fast hastening toward a never-ending eternity. Oh, we pray, solemnize each of our hearts. Lord, make eternity a concern to us, if thou hast not already, and do keep us concerned about it. Oh, Lord, we prove this concern is of thy grace. Our hearts by nature are a stone and unconcerned can look upon eternal misery. O Lord, save us from that dreadful condition. Lord, we confess the sin of it, the unbelief in it, Lord, the worldliness, the denial of thy truth effectually. O Lord, we pray for life, we pray for grace to feel our need. We pray, Lord, for a tender conscience, to take away the heart of stone. We pray to be kept, Lord, seeking thee, looking to thee. O Lord, any who have not begun to seek thee, Oh, may this evening even be the appointed time when thou begin with them. And, O Lord, do grant the revival in that work, wherein there is, Lord, that turning aside. We confess, Lord, with shame, how many are our backslidings, how often we turn aside, our eyes are fixed on some earthly thing, Lord, our hopes built on some creature strength, creature wisdom, found looking, Lord, to some object beneath thee. O Lord, do recover us, restore us from all our wanderings. Oh, restore us to that simplicity which is in Christ Jesus. Do make me, Lord, a little child, right, simple-hearted, meek and mild, and loving to the end. Oh, give that childlike faith, that implicit trust. Oh, Lord, favour us with the sealing of the Spirit, that we are not thy children, that thou art our Father, that thy Son is our elder brother. Oh, Lord, we pray for the restoration of love. Lord, 'tis our chief complaint that our love is cold and faint. Oh, do in mercy, let down thy love, send forth the Spirit of thy Son into our hearts, that love, Lord, that we might love thee in return, that love, Lord, that overcomes the love of sin, the love of self, the love of the world, the love of everything else. Lord, that love that sanctifies natural love. Grant that double blessing. Oh, we pray for it. Oh, we do seek, Lord, for the unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace. We pray, Lord, for the repair of those breaches where there has been a tearing asunder, as it were, a separation between any of thy people. Oh, grant that restoration, we pray. Oh, we pray for the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. When is it Christians all agree? And let distinctions fall, when nothing in themselves they see, that Christ is all in all. We pray for the forgiveness of our sins. We are in continual need of this, Lord. And we pray also for the overcoming of the power of sin in our lives. Lord, that sin may not have dominion over us, that we may be truly, feelingly, manifestly under thy grace. There's no other way, Lord, of sin not having dominion over us. 'Tis only thou, Lord Jesus, who couldst and didst conquer sin. Oh, wilt thou not conquer in us too? Oh, Lord, for thy glory, wilt thou not even in us get to thyself the honour and glory of the conquest over sin? Lord, we would tremblingly say, to thee all the praise will be given, as thou dost enable. For truly to thee all the praise will belong, if thou, dear Lord, so base a wretch will save. Then all the glory shall redound to thee, while here and when I reach beyond the grave. My soul shall sing salvation full and free. Oh, may that be our favoured portion. To each hear, if it would please thee, to be among that blessed host who cast their crowns before thee. And Lord, thy blessed name, worthy the Lamb. Oh Lord, oh we do pray for sobriety. Leave us not, Lord, to anything fancied, naturally emotional. Oh, do keep us sober. Lord, we pray for this people here once more, and the churches represented on this occasion. Thou hast do good in thy good pleasure to Zion, and build the walls of Jerusalem. Thou hast bless thy dear servants, those with us and each, Lord, throughout the earth, whom thou hast sent forth to labour. Many of them, Lord, labour in weakness of body. Do help them. Sanctify to them and to their hearers even this thorn in the flesh. And Lord, do bless them in their own ministry, and make their ministry a blessing. May souls be saved. May God be exalted, Christ exalted. May believers be added unto the church. May Holy Ghost conversions be manifest. And O Lord, may thy sheep and thy lambs be fed. Grant the churches pastors after thine own heart, according to thy will, who shall feed them with knowledge, with understanding. And do help pastors in that solemn office. Lord, we are not sufficient of ourselves. We pray for church members. We thank thee, Lord, for those who by thy grace hold up our hands in prayer. Lord, still grant them that help to do so. Lord, we pray we may be favoured to see those answers of peace again and again sent forth. Lord, we pray for those absent who would be here if they could. We pray thy presence and help for them where they are. Remember those away seeking rest and change, to watch over them and keep them. And if it is thy will, bless to them this season, to the good of their bodies, but above all their souls. Grant a thankful heart for all thy benefits toward us. They are countless as the sands daily we receive. Continue thy mercy. Go on to be gracious. We thank thee above all, Lord, for thy word, the incarnate word, the written word, thy dear Son, thy unspeakable gift, thy blessed Spirit, the Comforter, the Teacher, the Revealer, the Witnesser, the Sealer, the Inditer, the true and living prayer, the Inspirer of all true faith. Oh, we pray for thy Spirit more. We've grieved thee, Lord. Oh, Lord, we pray, forgive those sins that have caused thee, Holy Spirit, to withhold thy influence in such a solemn measure, so that there are so few conversions. There is such little gospel liberty. There is such little faith in Christ, little love, little fear, little true contrition and brokenness of heart, little real godliness, little real separation. But alas, Lord, the opposite, a compromise, a making affinity with the world and the devil and the flesh. Oh, we do pray, Lord, come and deliver us. Come and rescue us. Holy Spirit of truth, oh, pour upon us the Spirit of grace and of supplication. Create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us. Oh, give us to see things rightly. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. To see things rightly. Thou art all fair, the altogether lovely, the one thing needful, Lord, none to be compared unto thee. O Lord, we plead, do favour us the kisses of thy mouth, the smile of thy countenance, the whisper of thy sweet lips, the words of thy mouth are most sweet. Yea, thou art altogether lovely. Lord, make us truly to live in this. Lord, not merely to say it. Lord, if we lived in this, if we truly felt it, if we truly saw this, oh, how different our lives would be, how different our conversation would be, how different our outlook on life would be. Lord, do help. We plead for the afflicted, thou hast healed according to thy will and strengthen. Where it is thy will, the affliction must remain. To grant that grace sufficient, we thank thee, Lord, for what thou hast done. Our friend here, whom thou hast brought through that major surgery. Oh, we do thank thee that thou hast heard prayer. And pray, Lord, that thou hast gone to be gracious to him and his dear ones. Lord, that thou hast strengthened him and restore him and bless him. Now do forgive what one's asked amiss. We plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 627. Poor sinner, dejected with fear, unbosom thy mind to the Lamb. No wrath on his brow he does wear, nor will he poor mourners condemn. His arm of omnipotent grace is able and willing to save. A sweet and a permanent peace he'll freely and faithfully give. 627.
Thank you.
depending upon the Lord, I venture to direct you to the word before us this afternoon, which you'll find in the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 11, verses 9 and 10. Luke, chapter 11, verses 9 and 10. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Try to notice this afternoon the mercy of the Lord in powerfully bidding his people. He bids them in such a way as enables them. The words I speak unto you, he says, they are spirit and they are life. His very word, ask. Oh, there's a powerful invitation. What a mercy. The Lord doesn't leave it to the sinner to accept the invitation. My people, he said, shall be willing in the day of my power. Ask. He said to Solomon as he appeared to him that night in that dream, didn't he? Ask what I shall give thee. He had before made him wise. So he asked for wisdom. And then the Lord told him he would give him more than he'd asked. Able to give unto his people more than they ask or even think. This is that which should be given. Ask, and it shall be given you. If ye shall ask anything in my name. Now those things that are asked in the Lord's name. Firstly, they're asked with the plea only on the basis of the Lord's name, who he is, what he has done, the ground upon which he gives, mercy, covenant faithfulness, not because a sinner deserves it, but that God is pleased to give it through his dear Son. And those things that are asked in the Lord's name, it's by the influence of the Holy Spirit they're asked. So they're in his name also, in that the Lord will not be ashamed of what that sinner is asking. When that sinner asks according to the Holy Spirit's inspiration, it's according to the word of God. You know, the Lord hasn't promised to give his people one thing more than what he says in his word. He doesn't promise to give them a comfortable path through this world here below. He says it is through much tribulation ye must enter the kingdom. He promises that they shall enter the kingdom. And he promises sufficient grace to uphold them through the wilderness journey. But it is as it was with the Israelites of old. Day by day, ask, and it shall be given. Give us, the Lord taught his disciples to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. You know what happened when those Israelites tried to store up that manna? Except it be on that day before the Sabbath, Well, they tried to store it up on any other day. It bred worms and stank. Ask. Ah, the Lord does not promise tomorrow's supply today. Oh, what is the benefit of this? What is the beauty of this? What is the wisdom of this? Why? It keeps a sinner coming to the Lord. By this means that communion is kept up. Joseph said to his servants, put my cup in Benjamin's sack. Why? He wanted Benjamin back. Those things he puts in your sack. Ah, he'll put those things, as it were, in your sack. They'll mean you'll have to keep asking, because you'll be in continual need. My God, said the apostle, shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Ask, and it shall be given you. No good thing will the Lord withhold from them that walk uprightly. And what is it to walk uprightly? It's to walk by faith. There's no other upright walk. The just shall live by faith. We walk, said the apostle, not by sight, but by faith. And no good thing will the Lord withhold from that one. Oh, there may be things which you and I think will be good for us. But the day will come when each of the Lord's people will see, he hath done all things well. The crosses he laid upon us, the afflictions he laid upon our bodies, the troubles he brought in our pathway. Oh, as Jacob said, Joseph is not, Simeon is not, and now you will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me. They weren't. Why not? Because Jacob was a child of God. Jacob was bound up in the everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Those things that seem to be against you. If God be for us, now the Lord will have his people sue this out with him. If God be for us, how shall you know he is for us? How shall you know he is for you? Why? If he answer your prayers, what an evidence. If he speak to you, if he give you those things he gives only to his people, you know you're his and he is yours. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Seek. The Lord, by this very word, indicates to his people that the answer to the asking often doesn't come immediately. Sometimes it does, only when it's absolutely necessary. The Lord is never a moment late. Nor is he ever a moment before in the answering of his people's prayers. We read in that chapter, Isaiah 45, this evening, verily, thou art a God that hidest thyself, O God of Israel, the Saviour. It pleaseth him for his own wise purposes, oh, to prove the faith he works within to make the person prize his appearance more, to make the person realize more their need of him, to lead the person deeper into the realization of the emptiness of everything without him. Seek. Because this word seek, it speaks of searching. We don't seek for something, we don't search for something, unless we've feelingly lost it, or have never seen it, or have never found it. The Lord Jesus, he spoke of that woman that had lost that piece of silver. Does she not take a candle and a broom and sweep the house and search the house until she find it? I know the Lord perhaps principally was speaking of his own seeking, and of course that was the principal point there. The Lord was setting forth how he will search out and find every one of his people. But then he also works that same spirit in them, so that they are found through him seeking them, they are found seeking him until they find him. Seek. Seek. Not just to ask then, but to seek. Oh, again, what a mercy it is when the Lord makes us seekers. We're not otherwise. We turn aside. Are you often ashamed, my dear friend, of yourself? When you realize you've prayed a prayer, you've asked, you've forgotten. You've forgotten what you asked for. You're not even looking for the answer. Oh, what poor things we are. But the Lord has a way of making his people seekers. Again, it's by his word, but also it's by that renewed sense of the need of what I ask for. Perhaps a deeper sense of the need of what I ask for. Some affliction comes, and by that affliction, the Lord says, seek, and ye shall find. Has he ever sent something to you and it has been used by him as a reminder? You ask me for the forgiveness of your sins. I did not grant it you. You do not have it. Seek. What a mercy then when there is that renewing. Seek. But then the Lord, he is the director of the seeker. When the Lord says seek, he does not send them at their own will, going here and there looking. They never would find, would they? Where has he said in his word, his people shall find that which he bids them seek? In his word. In his word. Firstly, to read the word in a seeking way. What is that one looking for? What is that one waiting for? What is that one praying for? Who seeks the Lord in his word? That the Lord might shine upon the page and seal it on my heart. The Lord might speak another promise to me. Seek, and ye shall find. The precious word of God. Then, where the Lord in his providence puts a seeker within reach of the hearing of the faithful ministry of the gospel, the Lord's promise concerning that, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. How many of you were brought by the Lord up to the Lord's house this evening, seeking? You didn't come because it was special service at Swavesey. You didn't come because it was Mr. So-and-so engaged to preach. You didn't come because you always come on this annual occasion. You came and you were seeking to see Jesus, seeking a word from the Lord to your soul, seeking some prophet, seeking some life, seeking to be brought to worship God. Seek, and ye shall find. How does that one go about that seeking as they come up to the house of God? Prayerfully. Oh, in this, the one is directed by the Lord. Why? He teaches them that they'll not find what they're seeking for under a ministry that is not faithful to the word of God. They'll not find what they're seeking for under a ministry that does not take forth the precious and the vile. You see, the Lord's people, what they're seeking for is to know the eternal choice of Jehovah, to know that God has chosen them, to know that particular redemption is theirs, to know that blessed work of the Spirit which separates flesh and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. They'll not find what they're seeking for under a ministry that puts faith as something which is a mere assent to the word of God. No. That which the Lord directs them in this, you see. He says, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. The Lord does not send them to seek what their soul longs for there. Think of the spouse in the Song of Solomon, that seeking spouse. Tell me, she said, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock. Yes. Oh, seek and ye shall find in the word of God those examples of how the saints of old found what their souls needed, found what their souls longed for. How did they find it? They found it through waiting upon God. They found it through waiting his appointed time. They found it approaching at the throne of his grace. They found it in being made obedient to the Lord's will and his word. And feed thy kids, thy little ones, those little hopes, that little faith, feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. Seek, and ye shall find. And ye shall find. The seeker. You know, And this really was what led me to this text this morning. Oh, the Lord knows. Well, if I may be permitted to say this, I felt I had to come here today as a seeker myself. Came to me like this as I woke this morning. You've no right to go and preach or attempt to preach at Swaversey. You're ignorant. Everything seemed to be in darkness. Tempted whether I'd do anything. It seemed to come to me like this. Then I'll venture to go and preach as a seeker. And you know, I believe every true servant of God, though there are those things the Lord has made known to them, though one who has had no part whatever in the finding is not qualified to go, yeah. Oh, it's so little that they know. And the Lord will make them to realize, I seek and hope to find a portion for my soul. A seeker, to seek. What shall they find? What did those angels say to those women when they went to that sepulchre and found it empty? They said, "Fear not, for I know that ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is not here, he is risen. Behold the place where they laid him. But go and tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. And ye shall find." And you know, when these people find, oh, it is as it was with the Queen of Sheba. She had heard of the wisdom and the works, the riches, the glories of Solomon's works, but she came to see for herself. And she said, "The half was not told me." No. Ye shall find, to find Jesus. Oh, sinner, this is above all, and this is everything. But one thing is needful, the Lord said to Martha. Mary hath chosen that good part which should not be taken away from her. She sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. And ye shall find. Oh, that finding of Christ. We have found him, said those disciples, of whom Moses and the prophets spake. The Messiah. The woman at the well of Samaria. Come, see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? The finding of him. Oh, but what is it that makes a sinner seek Christ? Feeling to be a lost sinner. Feeling to be a guilty sinner. Feeling to be a lifeless sinner. Feeling to be an ungodly sinner. Oh, longing to be different. Longing to be delivered. The oppression of sin. The guilt of it. The power of it. The workings of it in your nature. Oh, my dear friend, the ministers of old, they used to speak like this. These things that the Lord lays upon his people is like the wooings of the bridegroom to the bride. And this is what, my dear friend, draws this poor one after Christ. My dear friend, every prick of your heart that the Lord gives you, every guilt that he makes you conscious of. Every temptation he allows the enemy to exact upon you. Every trouble he lays upon you. What is it? In the work of Christ, in the work of God, is the Lord saying to that poor sinner, you need me. You need me. Come. Come away from all else. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Come away from all those things that are vain. Oh, my dear friend, that the Lord might say this to us tonight. Seek. Seek and ye shall find. The children of this generation are more wise than the children of light, says the Lord Jesus. What did he mean by that? I believe, as far as I see it, he meant this. Look how diligent man is in his fallen nature. That's the children of this generation, the fallen nature. Look how diligent you are when you have set your mind fervently on something. Why, you'll go any distance. You'll pay any sum, as far as it is within your capabilities, to find that, to do that. You'll spend any number of hours to accomplish that task that you set yourself about. The hours. Oh, I know, my dear friend, there are those things that are lawfully attended to. And it is certainly scriptural, it is the Lord's will that a man shall attend unto his daily calling. But man shall not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord shall man live. Seek, and ye shall find. And ye shall find. The soul of the diligent shall be made fat. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing. How often you will be convinced, sinner, that left yourself, your desire is no better than the desire of the sluggard. Oh, for that God-given diligence to give the Lord no rest till he establish, till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. But you see, what is this seeking? That continued asking, isn't it? That searching, that waiting. And ye shall find. Ye shall find. How precious indeed the longer the Lord sees fit to leave a sinner seeking, the more precious the finding is. Oh, my dear friend, I believe this is the spirit that the Lord gives a seeker. Lord, if it is thy will that I must seek thee all my days, if I but find thee at last, if I but find thee ere I go hence and be no more, Lord, all that exercise, all that sorrow, they should seek him sorrowing. Why, it will be as nothing. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow, but as soon as, because her hour is come, but as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. Ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Now, here is set before the Lord's people in this word the door. We read from John this evening that Christ is the door. That door at which he will have his people knock. That inquiry, that seeking of the merciful attention of him who is the door. That seeking of that admittance by him who is the door. He says, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, shall go in and out and find pasture. The beggars knock. The Lord loves that. Oh, he'll not take any notice of any other but the beggars knock. He knows. He won't take any notice of anyone who seeks to get an entrance on any other terms than sovereign grace and everlasting mercy. No. But that one that knocks, and that's the knocking. You see, the Lord, he has set forth, he teaches this sinner. He teaches this sinner what the Lord delights to hear. As the Spirit teaches that sinner of what the Lord delights in. Now, the knocking that the Lord speaks of here, it's that reminding of the Lord of that which he delights in. He delights in mercy. He delights in his dear Son. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. He delights to be gracious. He delights to save for his name's sake. The knock sets forth a submission to the will of him who is the door. A lot of people's religion and ours, if we're left to ourselves, is not even to knock. What a solemn thing. There's not a real entrance. Don't mistake me. There's no real entrance but by the Lord opening. But what I mean is this. How many think they've got into the safety that is in Christ, the blessings that are in Christ, without the Lord opening the door to them? Knock. The leper knocked. He came to Jesus saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. When we knock at a door at somebody's house, we are seeking their attention. We know that it is according to their will whether they answer that knock. And when they open the door, whether they speak to us. And when they come to the door and see who it is there, whether they let us in. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Knock. It isn't then the bold intruder. He'll never get in the true door. It's the humble suppliant. It's the one that realizes, Lord, it can only be according to thy will if my soul be saved. It can only be of thy infinite mercy. Oh, I have no claim upon thee. According to thy holy law, thou wouldst be completely just if thou hadst nothing to do with me. But the knock is not according to his holy law. is according to the word of his gospel. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. It shall be opened. A door is an entrance. A door then of necessity hides something that is behind it. Oh, it shall be opened. The door of faith opened. When the door of faith is opened by God the Holy Spirit, and the sinner enters into, in a measure, the blessed person of Christ, the blessed work of Christ. What do we mean by entering into it? Oh, to enter into the pardon through Jesus' precious blood. To have that door opened. To enter into his glorious righteousness. Oh, my dear friend, it's no use us having these things merely in our heads. That won't save us. But my dear friend, we're such fools. We can say this, we can preach this. And we can listen, and you can sit in the pew and you can agree with what the minister says. But still, secretly, you're relying on it. Oh, may the Lord make us knock us until it is opened. Oh, but how does the Lord truly grant that his people should be in this place knocking, importunity, continuing knocking? Why? The felt realization of not entering in. Oh, when a poor sinner feels that guilt, he knows he hasn't entered into pardon. When that poor sinner feels so wrong in God's sight, he knows he hasn't entered into the truth of Christ's righteousness. When that poor sinner finds such enmity in their heart against God, he knows he hasn't entered into the blessed love of Christ. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Oh, the Lord sets forth here again, there's no other way of getting in. There's no other way of getting into this blessing of pardon. There's no other way of getting into this blessing of being clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. There's no other way of getting into this experience of the superabounding grace and the love of Jesus Christ. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And it shall be opened. Yes, the Lord will open it. He himself will open the door. When he says, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. God hath laid upon his shoulder, that is the shoulder of his Son, the key of the house of David. He will open and none shall shut and none shall open. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Oh, to be. Have that door opened and to enter into Christ. To enter into the beauty of his person. To enter into that blessed worship. To enter into that living faith in that measure, that blessed measure. It's only a believer that knocks, but you see there's an increase of faith when that door is opened. An increase of faith, oh, what a blessing that is. The heart is enlarged. Christ is seen. Christ is fed upon. This place that the Lord opens the door into is his banqueting house. The spouse says, he brought me into his banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Now, Just briefly in conclusion, the Lord help me to say one or two things concerning other ways in which this word is fulfilled, the door being opened. We read in that 45th of Isaiah this evening the promise that the Lord would give his people the treasures of darkness, the hidden riches of secret places. Now, of course, there was an interpretation of that regarding the actual work that Cyrus was to do to recover those riches that had been taken captive, to restore them to Israel. But surely I believe there is a spiritual interpretation of that concerning him who is the antitype of Cyrus, who will let go the Lord's people's captives, go before them and make the crooked places straight, break in pieces the gates of brass, cut in sunder the bars of iron, give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places. Open up those hidden riches. Oh, how closed they are until the Lord opens them up. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Concerning those things, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, but then the dealings of the Lord in your soul's experience. Now, everything that the Lord does for his people, it is good. But what he is doing is so often hidden from the Lord's people. It may be for years. But he says, knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Until the time that Joseph's word came, the word of the Lord tried him, but the king sent and loosed him in the Lord's time, years in prison. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. The prison doors open, and the opening of this chest, as it were, of the hidden riches. Oh, what a blessed thing it is when the Lord opens and there's an interpretation by the Lord himself of those things which have been hidden for years. And he shows you what he had in mind in that thing in your life. Why he laid this thing upon you. Why he kept you waiting there. Why he suffered that enemy to rise against you. Why, as Jacob said, Joseph is not, Simeon is not, and now ye will take Benjamin away. Joseph said, didn't he, do not interpretations belong unto God? When the Lord opens the door and shows the interpretation, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Knock, and it shall be opened. A confession, an acknowledgement, and a plea. That's knocking. In the respect of what I'm now speaking of, a confession. Lord, I can't understand it. No matter how hard I try, I cannot. Thy ways, Lord, are past finding out. But Lord, thou knowest. Would it please thee to show me thy good purpose? To make this matter plain to me. And then, of course, there's a door in providence. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Oh, not trying to force a way for yourself. Firstly, look into the Lord. Seeking that direction of him has enabled following that direction. Lawful means he may bid you use, but the eye unto him. Knock. Moses knocked. If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you, according to the will of God. Lord, make a way, the way that thou seest fit. You know, I believe that's in the spirit of everyone who really knocks concerning the door, the opening of a door in providence. Lord, shut every wrong door and open for me the right one. And it shall be opened. The Lord shall. Certainty. My dear friend, he loves that beggar's knock. The Lord cannot ignore that beggar's knock. Earlier in this chapter, the Lord Jesus spoke of that one that went to his friend at midnight and asked him for food because he had none and a friend was come to him on his journey. And he would not for a while. And he would not because he was his friend, but because of his importunity. Now that's the encouragement, poor sinner, for you who really fear that God is not your friend. Who have no friendly word from him, but who rather have his felt frowns. And yet you cannot stop, you cannot cease begging his mercy. His importunity, the Lord said. That was what moved the man to open the door at last and give him what he required. That door cannot remain shut. Jesus is faithful to his word. Knock and it shall be opened. A door of hope is opened wide in Jesus, bleeding hands and feet and side. Oh, 'tis this that opens that door. What else could open the door and bring in a poor guilty sinner? Nothing. But what can keep that sinner out if that blood was shed for them? Nothing can keep them out. Nothing. They must come in. And then those treasures of darkness that are opened, those mysteries that are opened. Oh, since God knoweth the whole, and since it is his promise to give his people the treasures of darkness, your ignorance, Satan's temptations, your unbelief, your poverty, your foolishness, it won't keep the treasure chest shut. It shall be open. The Lord shall do it. And my dear friend, that door in providence, it may seem that it's bolted and barred. It may be. Gates of brass, bars of iron. But it's the Almighty. It's the Almighty. Oh, as we come to a close this evening, we come back to this point, as I believe I said this afternoon, in this text, what the Lord promises here, what he calls his people to, and the blessing he promises, is the sum and substance of all real, vital, personal religion. It's a personal knowledge of God. It's a personal acquaintance with God. It's a personal communion with him. It's receiving from him. We have no more saving religion than what we receive in this way that I've just said one or two things about today. May that portion be ours. Amen.
The collections today are for the Bethesda Short Stay Fund. Let us now close with hymn 723. Come ye sinners, poor and wretched, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, joined with power. He is able, he is willing, doubt no more. 723.
Bless to us thy word. Do forgive all that has been amiss. We thank thee for help through once more. Do watch over and keep us each as we separate. Grant safe journeys to each of the friends. May the grace, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us. Amen.